Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
No less than Elmore Leonard called it the best crime novel ever written. It was set in Boston. It mashes up storylines you're still hearing about today, the crime underworld, the Boston Bruins. The book was made into a film in 1973. The pivotal scene takes place during a game at the Old Garden, where Eddie Coyle, a low-level gunrunner played by Robert Mitchum, delivers a beer-soaked soliloquy to hockey great Bobby Orr.
Can you imagine being a kid like that? What is he? 24 something, greatest hockey player in the world. Number 4, Bobby Orr. What a future he's got.
Well, The Friends of Eddie Coyle was written by the late George V. Higgins, the great Boston newspaperman-turned-novelist who spawned a generation of writers like Dennis Lehane and Michael Patrick McDonald. And like Higgins, they all eventually circled back to Whitey Bulger. Now, much has been said in the last week since the capture of this reputed mob boss about how Boston writers and filmmakers would siphon his real-life story for their fiction. But Higgins might have been the first, and he was the best. And to tell us that story, another Boston writer who's as much a character as the ones he wrote about, George Kimball, former columnist for the Boston Herald. George, how nice to welcome you.
Hi, Robin. How you doing?
I'm good. And I understand you're wrestling with some throat issues, so we'll be tender with that. But I mentioned, you know, you the character. I hope you don't mind if I ask, do I remember that you have a glass eye and back in the day, you know, after a long day, you might pop it out and place it on the bar in front of an unsuspecting interviewee?
Only if somebody asked me to keep an eye on their drink.
Is that why you do it? Well, so there, you know best the characters we're about to speak of. You write about the Higgins connection to Whitey Bulger in the Irish Times, an article from 2010. We'll post it at herenow.org. But set this scene for us. Tell us more about George Higgins. Who was he?
Well, George, he had written all his life. He always aspired to be a novelist, but he hadn't had any success until this one. After graduate school at Stanford, he'd come back and gone to BC Law School and then got a job as an assistant U.S. attorney specializing in the organized crime department. So he was very familiar with that turf.
So he was listening to voices in the U.S. Attorney's Office. He was listening to voices on the street. He became a columnist, must-read columnist. Why? Remind us about his writing.
Well, I mean, he's a wonderfully literate man. The Friends of Eddie Coyle, from start to finish, I think it took him like 17 years to finish it, which is why it's far and away the best of his books, because in the next 24 years or something like that, he wrote about 30-something books. None was a masterpiece like Eddie Coyle was.
And then in the columns, you know, the things that he fictionalized in the book, he would write about in real life, this rich, you know, choice of characters in the city. Whitey Bulger, who was he at the time in the 70s?
Now, Whitey had already, in the 70s, he had already done his time in Leavenworth. He was back on the street. They hadn't really been able to pin anything on him. I mean, it was kind of well known what he was up to, but there were no arrest warrants out for him or anything like that. He was kind of regarded, particularly in South Boston, as almost a Robin Hood figure. Rob from the rich and thumb your nose at authority and give to the poor, which he also did.
And we now know a lot more about why they couldn't pin anything on him, because he was already in cahoots with the law. So Robert Mitchum comes to town. And you remind us in your writing that he had also served some time for marijuana possession, and he's going to...
That's the thing is, like, what I'm not certain of is how Mitchum came to look up Whitey, or Whitey came to look up Mitchum, which way it happened. Whitey's headquarters at the time was the Lancaster Street Garage, which was right up by the garden, by the old garden. And it's possible they even ran into each other in the street. Another possibility is that movie companies didn't very often come to town back then, but when they did, they needed the cooperation of the Teamsters and other labor movements, and Whitey would have been a good guy to facilitate that. And a third possibility is there was a bit player who had a small role in Friends of Eddie Coyle, who had actually been a small-time hoodlum in Boston, got out of town about, I'd say, probably early 60s, went to Hollywood, and got to all these roles basically playing hoods.
Hmm.
Now, obviously, he would have known Whitey very well, so I'm not sure where the connection came, but Mitchum, this was right up his alley. He wanted to hang out with Whitey some. He wanted to get, find out how things worked, and also to kind of get the accent down and get the nuances of Boston correctly.
Yeah.
something that no voice coach was going to teach him.
Well, but this idea that Mitchum was just meeting with this sort of harmless caricatured guy down in South Boston, George V. Higgins didn't buy that. He was concerned about this.
Well, no, George knew him very well. George was very aware of things he was suspected of doing, things that the government was fairly sure he had done, and of course, there were things that the government knew he had done. So it turns out along about this time, he was also a protected government informant. But George knew how dangerous Whitey was. He called in Mitchum and kind of tried to warn him off him and say, look, this guy is not the hail fellow well met that you seem to think he is. He's very dangerous. George is probably just concerned Mitchum might do something that set Whitey off, and Whitey being as crazy as he was, it could have a very serious impact on the filming of the movie.
Yeah, like no Robert Mitchum. I mean, yeah. You know, that dangerous.
Yeah.
Well, there are other parallels between the fictional Eddie Coyle and Whitey Bulger. Eddie is facing prison time for a truck hijacking. He rats on fellow criminals to avoid that.
Eddie Coyle is more on the level of a Whitey Bulger's soldier than Whitey himself.
Yeah, yeah. He's much more vulnerable and weak. Here's a scene in which Eddie's meeting with a cop who's convinced him to be an informant. Eddie thinks he's done all he needs to stay out of prison, but the cop says, sorry, I need more information. Let's listen.
I should have known better than to trust a cop. My own goddamn mother could have told me that.
Everybody ought to listen to his mother.
George Kimball, we just get the sense from recent reporting that in real life it was Whitey Bulger who was telling some of the officials what to do, not crumpling like Eddie Coyle does in the face of a cop.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, George Kimball, it's just a terrific story, as many of yours always are. And I just want to refer again to some of the writers that came after George Higgins and worshipped at his feet. Dennis Lehane of Mystic River fame writes the introduction to the new 40th anniversary edition of Friends of Eddie Coyle that came out last year. And just your thoughts again on that lineage of George V. Higgins.
I mean, it was a unique book in so many ways, and it affected a lot of people because there are no heroes, there are no good guys in this book. And when you get right down to it, when you get to the heart of it, the cops are pretty much like the bad guys. One's playing one side of the fence and the other the other, but they talk the same, they think the same, they have the same morality. And, of course, the whole story is told mostly in this spare dialogue that's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, because of his ear. George Kimball on the late, great George V. Higgins, whose book, The Friends of Eddie Coyle, has a curious story we've been hearing about that involves Whitey Bulger. George Kimball's latest book is Manly Art, They Can Run But They Can't Hide. It's an anthology of his terrific writing about boxing. George Kimball, what a pleasure to talk to you again about this time in Boston history. Thanks so much.
Well, thanks, Robin.